Isn't it the domino effect? Because every relationship that we have in life is a reflection back to our and affected by our fellowship that we have with God. You can never be all that you're supposed to be as a believer without fellowship with God. We talk a lot about our positional standing that we have with God, and that's so important. In fact, the Bible calls us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is our position that God gave us when we make Jesus Lord. It's not something that we earned. It's an imputed righteousness. It's something that is given to us, and it is our legal position that we have in Christ. And a lot of times we say, okay, I'm this or I'm that, and we are. But we need to take what is legally ours and make it vitally, in reality, ours. It needs to affect every part of our life. And it's not just enough to just have a relationship with God. See, it's not just enough to have a marriage. A marriage is a relationship. It's a covenant relationship. But there's a lot of people who are married that have no fellowship. They have no interaction. They're two people going in two separate different ways, living in the same house, and they have nothing in common. You know, that's not really a marriage. That's not really fellowship. Now, legally, there is a relationship, but there's no fellowship. And there's a lot of Christians who legally have been joined to the Lord through the new birth, but they've never taken it beyond that and had a fellowship with God. Do you remember when you first got saved, how wonderful and how close God seemed? And, you know, it seems like you would utter a prayer, and before you got it out of your mouth, the phone was ringing with the answer. Somebody said, you know, God just spoke to me and said to pay your electric bill. God just spoke to me and told me to give you this, whatever you've been praying about. But the more that you had been in Christ, it seems like God moves further away. But that's not it at all. God wants to be close to us. God wants to be in close communion with us, but there's a spiritual principle, and it says, draw nigh to God, and you help me. He will. Okay, you draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. If you don't draw nigh to God, guess what? He won't draw nigh to you. Now, He pursued you when you were lost. You didn't find God. He found you. Once you become a Christian, there is our response to His grace. And this is what we're talking about in fellowship today. We need to respond to the grace of God. God is not looking for a one-sided relationship. And many, many Christians are living that kind of life. All right, God, you saved me. I got my ticket punched. I'm going to heaven when I die. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. And that's all we ever think about God. I got my ticket punched. I'm saved. I'm this. I'm that. And that's the most important thing. I'm not going to go to hell. You know, not going to hell was not God's intent in saving you. That's just one of the byproducts. What God wants to be is glorified through your life. Your everyday, 24-hour-a-day life. He wants to be glorified by you through the way that you express and live your life, living in communion and fellowship with Him. And that is a... Can I just say it? That is a full-time thing. How many of you think marriage is a full-time occupation? Does anybody think that? Does anybody know that to be true? You got to work at marriage, don't you? Now, you're not earning anything. And, you know, we're learning in men's fraternity, when you do nice things for your wife, you get 1 point. You don't get 10 points. You get, you know, if you wash the dishes, 1 point. You know, if you call her and tell her that you love her, 1 point, okay? We're not trying to earn anything with God, but it's a heart thing. And God is after the heart. Everything in the kingdom is about the heart. We try to make it rules and laws, But it's not about the heart. Are we say on this side, well, it doesn't really matter what we do. And it does. It's not this over here that nothing matters, but it's not all about the rules and the regulations. Well, you know, if I do this and if I do these 10 things, then I'll have a good marriage. Well, it's not about the 10 things. It's about the heart of the matter. We do things because we are in love. And that's what we need to learn. It's about the heart. And it's the same thing with God. It's all about the heart. Say that with me. It's all about the heart. I know people, maybe they give out of obligation. That's not what God's after. It's about the heart. Sometimes we go to church. Well, I need to go to church today. I don't want to go to church, but I know I need to go to church. No, it's not out of obligation. It's about the heart. You ever thought, man, I got to go spend time with my wife today. Don't you dare. You'll be in trouble. No, it needs to be a thing about the heart, doesn't it? When we keep our hearts where they need to be, then it's not a chore and it's not an obligation. And we need to do that with God, with our fellowship with God. It's the Greek word koinonia, and it's fellowship. And here's the ideal, and here's what the whole goal of this series is about, and it's summed up in this: a mind once stretched will never return to its original shape. And what I'm wanting the Holy Spirit to do in this series is to begin to stretch your mind to think in a way maybe you haven't thought before. Because a mind once stretched will never return to its original shape. And there's a lot of things that we don't do and embrace is because we have never been challenged or we don't know. And so if you will allow the Holy Spirit to stretch your heart today, to stretch your mind, that mind will never go back to its old shape. See, when we come into this world, guess what? We came goofed up. You were born in sin. You were born in sin. You were born with a sin nature. We have Adam and Eve to thank for that. But you know what? We've done enough sinning on our own. We've all messed up. And we were born into sin. You can see a little bitty baby. You know, little bitty babies can, it don't take long to know that they're pretty selfish and they're about themselves. And a lot of life is we make it about ourselves. What we want, what we desire, what we need. And our whole life's focus is on the external, what this will make me happy, or this she will make me happy, or he will make me happy, or if I get this, then I'll be happy, or if I could do this, then I could be happy. If I could have this, I could be happy. And it's all about what my desires are. But there's a scripture that says that if we'll delight ourselves in the Lord, that he'll give us the desires of our heart. See, our delight should be in the Lord. Not in the externals. Not in the things that we think that we need. Not in the material. Not in the wealth. Not in anything. Our desire should be in him as a person. And we're talking about fellowship. We're talking about face-to-face fellowship with God. And it's really hard for us to think that the creator and the inhabitor of the universe wants to have fellowship with us. When you start thinking about how big God is, it'll blow your mind. When you look at creation and see how big creation is, and that he's bigger than creation, and you think that he wants to have a face-to-face relationship with me. The Bible says in Exodus 33:11, it talks about Moses, that God spoke to Moses face-to-face as a man speaks to his friend. That's pretty awesome. Moses had a face-to-face relationship with God. He said, yeah, but that was Moses. He was the leader. God wants to have a face-to-face relationship with you. He's big enough that he can have a face-to-face relationship with all of us. But you know, many times we look at God and he wants to be our friend. That's what he wants to be, is our friend. But I don't know about you. I've had a hard time connecting with that mentally and emotionally. Because, you know, as a kid, we're taught that God is this creator and he's busy with the universe and he's in all of this and he's doing all of this. And, you know, creation is still going on. There are stars that are still being in the act of creation. The universe is expanding. And so God is, he's in charge of all of that. And he wants to have a face-to-face relationship with me. I can think of him as creator. I can think of him as God. I can think of him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, I can connect with that. Here he is, and he's in charge of all of this, and he's a king, and he's a lord, and he wants to be my redeemer and all of that. But my friend, face-to-face, that's a little more difficult for me to grasp. How about you? Does anybody else, you know, you have a little difficulty with that? It's just hard for me to get a hold of that. And the Bible talks in James 2:23 about Abraham being justified by faith and declared righteous by God. And then it goes on to say that he became the friend of God. Wow. So Abraham was the friend of God. Moses was the friend of God. And then Jesus in the 15th chapter of John started talking to his disciples. And he says, you know what? My prayer for you is that, you know, that you would be one. And, you know, you I've taught you and you've been with me. And I've corrected you and I've rebuked you. And he says, you know what? The time is coming that I'm not going to call you servant anymore. I'm going to call you friend. His disciples, the ones that the church that we're a part of was influenced through. Every Christian movement came out of those 12 men that Jesus called friend. And he wants to be our friend. And that's just really, really hard for me to comprehend, because I know my heart. And it's real easy for me to get in this mindset, is that I get busy during the day, and I'm in full-time ministry, and I get so busy in my day sometimes that I forget about God. You can be so busy doing the work of God that you forget about your fellowship with God. And I can't tell you the times that I've laid my head down at night and then, see, it takes me about 2 minutes to go to sleep. Okay? I'm a pew. But I do reflecting sometimes, and I'll reach out to God. And one of the things that I realize many times in my day, God, I didn't even think about you today. I was working for you, but I didn't really think about you. I didn't really invite you to help me with my day today. I missed out on some face-to-face fellowship time with God. Now he said, draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. I didn't draw nigh today. Yeah, but you was working for God. It's not about us working for God. It's about us being with God. Sometimes in a relationship, it's not what you do for that person. It's just being with a person. How many times have we as parents thought out of guilt, we have done and bought things for our kids when what they really wanted was us? Or it gets quiet when the Holy Ghost gets the pricking hearts. You know what your children need more than anything else? They need your love. They need your attention. They need time with you. There is no substitute for those things. Nintendo won't do it. We won't do it. Xbox. Some kid, I think, dear God, I want one of those. And you know what God wants? He wants time with us. Not that we can add anything to God. We can't. There's not one thing that we can add to God that he lacks. And that's what's so amazing. That I can't add any value to God whatsoever. Yet he wants to spend face-to-face time with me. Why? Proverbs 27:17 is an interesting verse of scripture. And it's one that we apply in friendship. And you've heard this scripture. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And you know, you think about that. There are people that I like to hang out with that are my friends. You know, I get around, Ricky Jones and I have been friends for years. And I get around Ricky Jones, and he's a generous heart. He has a weird way of looking at things sometimes. He does. But they're so true. And he'll say things to me sometimes, and I'm thinking, what are you talking about? And he'll start explaining it, and it'll just open up, and I'll think, ooh, that's good. That'll preach. So what's happening there? It's iron sharpening iron. And when there's certain people that you hang around, that when you hang around them, it makes you a better person. We could call it friend. That's why you need to be careful who your friends are. When you hang around people and they take away from you, that's not the kind of friend you need. You need somebody that can sharpen you. Listen, somebody needs to hear this. You don't always need people around you that agree with you. Sometimes a friend will tell you, you're just full of it. Hurt your feelings. But you know what? They'll knock them burrs off of you. Iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Well, now what if that friend is God? Think about that. Let's think about that a minute. What if that friend that we're spending time with is God? Can I sharpen him? No. He is perfect. So why does God want to be a friend with me? Because when we meet face to face and we spend time together in a relationship, who is going to change? Me. Who is going to benefit from that face time, that face to face relationship with God called koinonia, fellowship? Who is going to benefit from that? Me. My buddy Tom Underhill. I love Tom Underhill. He and I don't agree on everything, but most things we do. But one thing about whenever time I get around him, and he's my friend, I don't talk to him but two or three times a year. But every time I see him, every time I'm around him, he makes me want to do things better. He just has that about him. Well, if I am in a face-to-face fellowship with the God of the universe who is perfect, what am I going to begin to see? What is going to begin to happen to me as iron sharpens iron? Is that going to be a safe relationship? Is that going to be a safe fellowship? Absolutely. Because there's nothing that he would ever do to hurt me or harm me in any way. He may tell me I'm full of it. He can see my heart. He knows me perfectly. I don't know him perfectly. I don't know him fully. He knows everything about me. He knows my thoughts before I think them. He knows what I'm going to do before I ever do it. He knows every sin I'll ever commit. And he still wants to be in a relationship with me. I feel special. You ought to feel special because he wants to be in not only a relationship, he wants to be in a fellowship with you. Now, what do we got to do? Draw nigh to him. he'll draw nigh to you. Ignore him, he won't bother you. If God seems far away, guess who moved? Twarn't him, 'twas you. Reflect. Let's reflect a minute. Are you closer to God right now than you've ever been in your life? And if you say no, guess who moved? Guess who quit seeking? It wasn't him. He will respect your distance if that's what you want. That's not what he wants. But if you'll begin to draw nigh to him, he'll begin to draw nigh to you, and you will change. You're the one that needs that, not him. You ought to want that. Is it always going to be comfortable? No. But we shouldn't want to be comfortable all the time. A lot of times we'll say, well, are you going to go do that? No, that's just a little out of my comfort zone. Good, go do it. There's things that you ought to do in life that just scares the bejeebers out of you. I ran for political office twice. The first time I did that, I was shaking in my boots. Scared me. I would think about it and fear would grip my heart. But I did it anyway, and it's one of the best things I ever did. I won twice. Imagine that. It opened doors for me as a pastor. It opened my eyes to some things. It was uncomfortable. I was able to establish relationships. It was good for me, but it was not comfortable. When I used to think about standing up in front of people, it scared me bad. Do you remember those oral book reports in English? Does anybody remember those? Did anybody like those? If you did, you were probably a sicko. I hated those things. Elbert Lindsay was my buddy in high school, and he and I would take turns hiding behind each other when, you know, the teacher would look and say, okay, who's going to do theirs? I was hiding behind Elbert. I was littler than he was. If I'd have just raised my hand and got it over, I could have relaxed for the next week. But I'd always be the next or the last one. And you get up there, it scared me bad. You know what? I look forward now to speaking. I hated it then. Why? Because it's not natural to me. And a lot of things spiritually are not going to be natural to you because they get you out. I'm speaking to somebody big right now. They get you out of your selfishness. They get you out of your fear zone. They get you out of your comfort zone. And they get you into an arena that God can begin to use you the way that he wants to. You know, and our fellowship with God is going to be different for everybody else. Because every one of us have different talents, we have different purposes, we have different graces, we have different gifts. And fellowship with God will draw whatever your uniqueness is, it will draw it out of you, and you will bear the light of Christ in that way. That'll be your area. See, when I spend time with God, it enhances me in what I'm supposed to be. When you spend time with God, it will enhance whatever is in your life and in your heart. Don't be afraid to draw nigh to him. Now, next week, we're going to call, prayer team, come on. But next week, we're going to talk about some of the benefits, this domino effect. Because when you begin to draw nigh to God, there's a domino effect that begins to affect every part of your life. It'll affect every other relationship that you have. In fact, your fellowship with God determines the extent of your other relationships with people and life. It will affect your worldview, how you view the world that you live in. See, there's a lot of people who are caught in they're caught in their circumstances. It's because their whole worldview is negative. They see every situation, they see the worst in everybody and everything. Have you ever been around somebody like that? Aren't you glad God's not that way? Aren't you glad that He doesn't look at you and see the worst? Now, we think that He does. But let me tell you something. I mean, you may be bad to the bone today. I don't know. I don't know your spiritual condition. You may be rotten to the core. I don't know. But this I do know, that God knows you perfectly, good and bad, and He still wants to have a relationship with you. Now, you can't beat that. He is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Not only is He willing for that, He wants to be in a vital marriage with you. God is all about marriage. He's not about dating. He's about covenant marriage. And I'm talking about between you and Him. Have you ever noticed that in Scripture that it likens marriage between husband and wife as the relationship between Christ and the church? Some believe that we're the bride of Christ, that we will be married to Him, that we are married to Him. There's that vital thing that needs to take place. And the strength of that marriage has to do with the fellowship that goes on in it between man and wife and family and us and God. And if it's good between us and God, and it's good, and we got it going on, and we're face to face with God, and He's changing our lives, it's going to change everything else in our lives. It'll change your whole workplace. I had somebody tell me the other day, said, talking about nurses. In fact, they were talking about Ashley. They said, I love it when Ashley is charged nurse because it changes the whole floor. What is it about it? It's her spirit. Have you ever seen somebody that was cantankerous and come in and be in charge of something? What it has that ripple effect among everybody in the workplace? Did you know you can be that positive influence in the workplace? You don't have to be affected by the negativity all around you. In fact, you can be a light bearer, and you don't have to stand on a table and preach. But your fellowship with God can affect everybody around you. It can affect your spouse. It can affect your kids. It can affect your family. It can affect everybody around you in a good way. It can affect our church. I want to make sure that we stay a positive outlook church. Now, I believe in sin. I don't believe in sinning, but I believe in sin. I believe sin will kill you. I believe there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I believe that when people die, if they don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, they don't go to heaven, they go to hell. But I think that we can present the gospel in a positive way that'll cause people to want to come to Christ and escape all of that death and negativity. And Jesus says, He didn't say, I'm come to bring judgment. He says, I am come that you might have life and life more abundantly. It's about life. My fellowship with God affects everything around me. Your fellowship with God affects everything around you. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Father, thank you today. Thank you for stretching our minds. Lord, I know people have heard things today. Maybe they knew, but they heard it in a different light today. Stretch our minds to the point that it never goes back to its original shape. That we can think your thoughts and we can know you and we can draw nigh to you and you'll draw nigh to us. Bless your people today, I pray in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you have any kind of need in your life, you may need a relationship with Jesus. You need to make Him Lord of your life. Come. People will pray with you. You don't have to be hung up about all of that. I mean, if that's what you need, you come get it. God may have spoken to you about something today out of this message, and you need to pray about it. They'll be glad to pray with you. Maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you need something else from God. Come, and we'll be glad to pray with you about that. Would you come?